A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The night of Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that, with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us, whom you had summoned. For in secret, the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect, with one accord, the divine institution. The word of the Lord.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Ring out your joy to the Lord, O you just, for praise is fitting for the upright. Bless the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his heritage. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Yes, the Lord's eyes are on those who fear him, who hope in his merciful love, to rescue their souls from death, to keep them alive in famine. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Our soul is waiting for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. May your merciful love be upon us as we hope in you, O Lord. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man himself, as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands of the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what they had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia. 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 Stay awake and be ready. For you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant at his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself and have the servants recline at table and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. Don't worry, folks, it was the right gospel, but just a short form of it. I just want to share with you that in the entrances of the church, for the past couple of weeks, there's been a flyer that I've had about the Assumption Pilgrimage. It's at Our Lady of Lebanon Shrine. It's only about maybe 50, 55 minutes from here on the way to Youngstown and North Jackson, depending how you drive. Okay, I can make it like maybe in about 45 minutes, but there's policemen here, so I better be careful in what I say. But anyway, in it you have a nice schedule, 3 days of the pilgrimage. Wednesday is our bishop, Bishop Bonner. Thursday is a Byzantine liturgy with the Archbishop of Pittsburgh. And then Friday, the Assumption Feast, is the day itself, is a Maronite liturgy. And again, it is a basilica. So like our basilica, it is a pilgrimage site. So if you can't afford to go to Rome, you don't want to go to Rome, but you want to do something for the Holy Year, for the Holy Year. That's a place to go. All the liturgies in the evening, they all start at 7 o'clock. And the closing night is the nicest. They have the procession. And then for the on Thursday for the Byzantine, I usually lead the singing when they're carrying Mary's image around in procession. But always Friday night, it's usually with fireworks and everything. It's a really, really nice, nice event. And so I want to give them a little bit of promotion because it's a beautiful shrine in our diocese that a lot of people don't know about. And this being a holy year, I think it's a nice place to go and pray. Last Saturday, I was talking a little bit in my homily about gratitude and what it means for us to be grateful. And when was the last time that you and I have done a meditation to just think about the gratitude that the Lord has given to us? And so going on a pilgrimage like that is also just a way to thank our Lord, to be grateful. But gratitude also, though, for us sometimes comes as a price. Because if we're grateful, but then what happens if in our life we have a loved one, a spouse, maybe a brother, a sister, someone who gets very sick, someone who has cancer, someone who is ill, someone in our family who's passed away. How can we be grateful with something like that? Well, for us as Christians, the gratitude also comes with the gift of faith, that we have to be also faithful. So what Hebrews tells us that we heard today, that we have to be ready, that we have to be ready, we have to be prepared for when our time comes. And as much as we would like, we do not have a U-Haul that goes with us in the casket when we pass away. Now, some people might want to try that and have a U-Haul go to the cemetery with them, but that doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. We have to look on how we live our life at the present moment. Past is past. Future exists only in our hope. But live right now in the present moment. Last Monday, I was feeling pretty bad. I was not in a good place. And so I said to my dad, let's go to the Sorrowful Mother Shrine. We haven't been there for a while. And I says, you know, it's a holy year and it's a pilgrimage site and we can go. And it was a beautiful day. It wasn't too hot. So I called my Aunt Mary. And so I took my dad and my Aunt Mary and we went and we had a nice day. And when I had a quiet moment at the shrine there, I said to myself, I said, you know, how much longer am I going to be able to do this with my dad and with my aunt? My dad's going to be 86. My Aunt Mary's going to be 89. I don't know if she'd be too happy with me telling you her age. But my Aunt Mary and my Uncle Paul, they always were present in my life and in parts of my vocation and ordinations and so on and so forth, they were always there. And I miss my Uncle Paul a lot. So we did, and we had a very, very, very nice, beautiful, beautiful day. Now, I want to share with you, if you have not heard, what one of our wonderful parishioners, Kathy Kellogg, passed away yesterday. I talked a little bit about her last Saturday. And at Mass last Saturday. And Kathy's passing can teach us a couple of things. First of all, always be ready. Always be prepared. You know, the Mass last Saturday was for her husband. And if you were at Mass last Saturday, I beg your indulgence, but I'm going to just share this. When she knew that we had Mass for her husband last Saturday, and she was over at the little daily Mass chapel, and she says to me, "Father, I really, really miss my husband." And so, you know, and she was in her last agony, you know, at the hospital. And so I said at Mass, I says, "Well, maybe her husband will finally come and take her to himself, you know, take her home to the heavenly homeland." As to the heavenly homeland, as Hebrews in our reading tells us today. Am I afraid to die? No. I'm not afraid to die because I've seen a lot of people in my 30 years of priesthood, especially even in my own family, prepare for death. But the thing of that is, though, you have to be ready for it and not be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, and we find that out, you know, this week. How did the Virgin Mary spend her last days on earth? If you come to Mass on Thursday or Friday, I'll tell you how she did. But it's a reality. You know, and Kathy's passing kind of reminds me of an episode of The Golden Girls when Sophia is going to become a nun. And if you remember that series, you know, if Sophia's going to become a nun, you know it's going to end up in failure anyway. But what Sophia is trying to do is she's trying to follow and live like her friend Sister Agnes did. And so when Sister Agnes dies, Sophia tries to take her place. And she's not successful in taking her place. But at the end of the movie that particular episode is a wonderful lesson when Dorothy says, "This was Sister Agnes's place, Mom. It's not your place." And Dorothy says, no one can take her place. And so that's what we can learn about Kathy, that her example, her life, her joy. Because she, as I said, she was so joy-filled, she made everybody in this parish feel welcome. And if we can learn anything from that, it's just that. Have a little bit of Kathy in us. That when we see someone here that we don't know, or someone that's visiting. I had a lady come up to me at the last Mass from Wisconsin. Her and her husband were visiting at the Basilica, and it says, "We're just passing through." And I says, "Father, you were very kind to us when we came. You gave us the things, you know, to follow along in them." Something simple like that. Just to greet, to smile, a smile for someone. Smile for someone who's down. You know, and you don't know what they're going through. We don't know what sometimes people are struggling with. One of my favorite lines in that particular episode, when Sophia is a nun and she's having a fight with the mother superior. And so she goes, then she turns and says, "Well, what's she going to do? Take away my self-denial privileges?" That's the thing. You know, it is where you are at. And so our gospel today tells us that life is like a game of golf, okay? If you like golfing, I'm going to explain that to you. When the British colonized India, they brought with them the game of golf. And a worse hazard than the sand traps turned out to be monkeys. Now, wherever the ball landed, a monkey would run into the fairway and pick up the ball, take it, and drop it someplace else. From the fairway into the rough, out of the sand trap, into the green, from the green back into the fairway, whatever. So the Brits tried what they could, everything to keep the monkeys off the course. Fences, sirens, booming noises, nothing worked. And in the end, they changed the rule book. So they ended up changing the rule book. Play the ball where the monkey drops it. So the scripture today tells people who lived with an openness to whatever that God, wherever it was that God would take them. You remember your marriage vows, folks who are married, in good times and in bad. The openness to where God would take us. They played the ball wherever the monkey dropped it. It is the story of the Hebrews enslaved in Egypt, where they were to doubt, where they were about to be let out to the God-fearing desert of not knowing where they were going to go. Were they going to die? Were they going to die in that desert? It is about the story of the aged Abraham and Sarah called to travel to an alien land and then into parenthood in their old age. Faith is not trusting that God will always take us where we want to be. And that's where gratitude comes in too, folks. To be grateful, sometimes we don't, where God takes us, sometimes we don't want to be grateful for that. You know, it's not always where we want to be, but it is trusting that wherever it is that God takes us, will ultimately bring us to a fuller life. So, watch and be ready to recognize the coming of God. It may be in times of darkness for you. It may be in the pits of hell for you. Some people, it is when they get that diagnosis, when they're in jail, when they're trying to detox, they are in the pits of hell. But that's where our faith comes, because the master comes sometimes late at night, as says in our gospel, in Luke's gospel. We don't know. We don't know when the bridegroom will come. But he says to the brides, the brides, be ready. Have your candles, have your lamps ready, because you do not know the time and the hour when the master will come. Or we do not know ourselves when we'll find ourselves in an alien land. Parentheses, alien land. That's why I go with my dad and my aunt. They have so much stories to tell from the war-torn Yugoslavia, from living in Austria, the faith of my grandparents, my grandmother especially, but she taught me so many things, and also about death and dying. We might have to go to an alien land, a place in life where we never have been before. But with faith, the faith and gratitude, God can do anything and take us anywhere.